open our Bibles to Ephesians . We'll begin reading in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. We'll read through to verse 9 of chapter 6. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Let us look unto the Lord in prayer. Holy is your word, O Lord our God, and righteous are all your ways. We are grateful for all that has been revealed unto us, that has been given unto us. We pray that we may lay hold of it by faith. We pray that we may be fit to be citizens of Zion, that as we march along that glorious road, arm in arm with those of like precious faith, that we may encourage one another, and that we may honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that our souls may be well instructed this night. For that we pray the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would grant liberty and boldness in the preaching of your word. We pray that it may be a speech seasoned with grace. And we ask, O Lord our God, that we may hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Lend thy strength to thy servant, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at various relationships. We're beginning this look at various relationships. We spent some considerable time on the relationship between husband and wife and how they are to relate to one another. And now the natural progression of a union between a husband and a wife is that of children. And so the children are addressed in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 6. When Paul, writing by the authority and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." We want to notice here, first of all, just somewhat by the way, that the fact is here that children are addressed directly in this portion of God's Word. The book of Ephesians is written by the Apostle Paul to the saints which are at Ephesus. He addresses husbands and wives. He addresses servants and masters. He addresses fathers. He also addresses children by name directly, considering them to be a part of God's covenant community. He does not say, "Fathers and mothers, tell your children to obey you according to the fifth commandment." But he says, "Children." He embraces them and mentions them, includes them, assumes that they are listening and paying attention, and talks to them by giving them this word of admonition from the Word of God. That has implications the view that the Scriptures teach of a covenant and how children are also a part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we want to consider this admonition to children this evening. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Obedience is the great want or the great need of the day. And in many respects, we must say also that many children are disobedient because their parents have not given them commands to obey. It seems as though many parents have not taken an interest in their children and have just left them to themselves. That is a very popular philosophy in these days. They are what the philosophers call a tabula rasa. Here's this little child. He is a clean slate, is what that Latin term means. And you just need to give the right impressions to him, and you need to give him the right influences, and he is going to turn out just the way that he ought to turn out, according to his own inclinations and according to his own strengths and weaknesses. And that's better left alone, without any real direction, without any real commands or call for obedience to them. But the Lord speaks otherwise, and it is interesting that he, in this commandment, this fifth commandment, instructs the children to obey their parents. And it is not qualified. No, you don't have to do it if your parents talk to you nicely, or if they do it just the way that it appeals to you. And I'm not saying that parents ought not to do that. They ought to. They ought to be loving to their children. But the onus here is in the fifth commandment is on the children. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It is just and righteous before the Lord. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord," the very nature of the second commandment. But also when we see a rebellious children, we may be able to say that some of that is the fault of the parents when they are not directing their children because they perhaps have been instructed badly. When we turn, however, to Romans chapter 1, there's a great list of wickedness that characterizes a nation that is filled with apostasy and rebellion against a holy God. Notice in verse 30, right in the middle of that list, these are also mentioned: backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. It does not say that parents were faulty in the way that they raised their children. It says, first of all, that a mark of the rebellion in the last days or in times of apostasy is that people, children, are disobedient to parents. The same is true when we turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. There Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy," and so on. So here's another one of the effects of the self-esteem movement. They are lovers of themselves, but also disobedient to parents. They throw off all authority that is set upon them. It's a mark of not progression, but it is a mark of falling back. It is a mark of rebellion against the Lord, against His authority, and against His truth as it is revealed in the Word of God. The Scriptures speak much about the obedience of children and call children to obedience, especially in which book, do you suppose? The book of Proverbs, written primarily to young men, but to all inclusive. And let us read some verses from Proverbs in this admonition. Proverbs 1, verse 8. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 6, verse 20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Proverbs 23, verse 22. "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Proverbs 30, verse 11. "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." Proverbs 30, verse 17. "The eye that mocketh at his father, and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." It's not a very pretty picture, but it is a picture that reflects the Old Testament law that said that when a young man was recalcitrant, when he was just fighting against all authority, and he was brought before the elders, and the case was laid out, and he just refused to submit to the elders, refused to submit to his father and his mother, then he was to be taken outside the city, and he was to be stoned to death. And that does sound like a very harsh law, but it is a law of God. And people like to take it out of context and make something of it that it isn't actually saying. And people sometimes have the idea, by not thinking carefully about some of these situations in the Old Testament, they have the idea that they're calling 5- and 6-year-old boys out there and stoning them, or girls, I suppose, that they're rebellious as well. These were not little boys. These were young people who had just persistently rebelled. And they'd been warned, they'd been admonished, they had the rod of correction applied to the Board of Education, or the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning, I guess is how we say that. And they had been disciplined, and they had not responded at all. And that was the final stroke that the Lord gave to the law of the children of Israel. And the purpose of it was to put the evil from the midst of them. There were very serious consequences to disobedience. Today we see a great deal of disobedience and self-indulgence. We saw it very openly and flagrantly on our television sets during the Stanley Cup playoffs, when people went out just as an excuse. And somebody pointed out, it's probably true, that the people that were out there were probably not even hockey fans. They weren't the ones staying home and watching the game. They were the ones that were using this as an excuse to just indulge themselves, to be vandals, and to break windows and knock over telephone booths, and to damage vehicles and tear down trees. It was a great wickedness and a great evil in our country. It brought great disrepute to us, sorry, to our city. But here was here were people who were openly defiant of the authority of the policemen. You suppose that any of them were good, obedient children when they were growing up? I don't get that picture at all, that they were obedient to their parents. They were disobedient by their very testimony and demeanor. So it's of great importance that we consider this admonition of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Lord's people particularly are to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. There should be a tender, loving compassion for their children. The children should respond in love and joy to be a member of the family that they have been raised in providentially. It's one of the things that we don't get to choose is our parents. We get to choose our husbands or wives, but we cannot choose our parents. And so the Lord says, you obey your parents, the parents that the Lord has given you. And there are times when the instruction or the commandments of your parents may not quite suit your desire or your will. And the Lord says, you obey in those times. That's the whole idea of the injunction. If it was easy, that you wouldn't need the injunction or the command from the Lord. Sometimes there's a bad mood, right? I just don't feel like obeying my parents. And that is just a matter of personal preference. And lots of excuses can arise. You know, I don't like the way my dad was talking to me, or my mom was talking to me, or I just don't have time right now. I have many, many more important things to do right now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Simple, not simple obedience, but joyful obedience. And let me say that generally there is an affection that children have to their parents. There is a desire innately to obey and to want to be a part of the family. And we'll talk about some ways in which that can be ruined by lack of wisdom on the part of the father. We do believe in the doctrine of total depravity, but we're not to expect our children to be rebellious. We're to expect them to love and to obey. We can think of the verse of scripture that says, can a mother forget her sucking child? There's an affection that's there between mother and child that is, the modern word for it is bonding, right? You have to bond. And so we have a fancy name for it. But this has been going on for years and years. And there is a love and devotion, particularly between a child and its mother. Not so much always between a child and its father, but a lot of that has to do with the fact that mothers like to cuddle, and that they like to embrace, and they just have this warm affection for their children that fathers don't always have. And it just is a difference between fathers and mothers. And there is a natural affection. It's one of the other things that Paul says in Romans chapter 1 as the sign of the degradation of society. Without natural affection. Terrible thing when there's just no natural affection. No kind of a love that the bonds of nature, human nature, bring to us. Human relationships bring to us. So there is a natural desire to want to please the parents. And there are times when the child may not be so very thrilled to obey. And those times the Lord says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Do it for Jesus. Why should I? You might want to ask that question. Why should I obey my parents? And, you know, you can think of a million reasons why you shouldn't obey them. You know, they're inconsistent or they're hypocritical. They tell me to do this and they do that. There's the reasons just come flooding to your mind, especially when you're really anxious to disobey. But the Lord says, you obey them for Jesus' sake. Obey them because they're your parents. Obey them because God has given them to you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord for Jesus' sake, for this is righteous. This is right. It is just. And it is what the Lord has given us to do. Now the Apostle Paul quotes the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother. And this brings the whole matter into the realm of the law. There is an appeal. Children, as members of the church in Ephesus, obey your parents in the Lord for Jesus' sake, because this is right. Then he quotes the commandment, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So he paraphrases a little bit from the original in Deuteronomy and Exodus. But the intent is the same. So he brings in the whole idea of the law, and the law is ordinarily that which condemns. The law draws out the idea of our unrighteousness. It exposes, and it is intended to do that, to expose your rebellion and to make you to see that you cannot do the things which God's law commands. Or demand. It is very stringent. It is very oppressive. It will not give you joy or liberty to endeavor to earn God's good pleasure by obeying God's law, or by endeavoring to purchase your salvation by obeying God's law. And yet when the demands of the law are heavy upon the sinner, that is the time when you cry out to the Lord for strength. Children, obey your parents. Honor thy father and mother. And this is a commandment then that is often very, very difficult to obey. What makes it difficult to obey? The clashing of the will, isn't it? Here's the will of the parent, and here's the will of the child. And the parent says, do this. And the child says, I would rather not. Sometimes he says that a little bit more boldly than that. He says, I won't. The parent says, do this. He says, I won't. And now you're in a battle. You've got a conflict going on. And the parent actually wants to avoid those conflicts as much as he can, still be righteous. But once the conflict begins, the parent needs to win that conflict. He needs to make sure that he is teaching his children to be obedient to his will. It's a very important precept in the home to have obedient children. So the child then, to whom the commandment is addressed, the child is to cry out, Lord, give me strength. I don't want to obey my father. I don't want to obey my mother. I would rather do this. I would rather exercise my own will. And aren't the excuses wonderful? You can talk about the will of God, and you can say, I would rather do this. I would rather go read my Bible than clean my room for my parents. And it all sounds very holy and spiritual. And you can pray this in front of God and say, I would rather serve you by reading the Bible than do what my mom and dad tell me to do. But the Lord says, no, I want you to obey your parents for Jesus' sake. Didn't Jesus have the same difficulty that he addressed in Matthew's Gospel in the 15th chapter? Matthew chapter 15. And these were not little children. They were already adults who were also expected to honor their father and their mother. And here was another issue in Matthew chapter 15, where it says, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. These were the scribes that and the Pharisees that had said, I would like to really help my aging mother and father, and I know that they need help, but I have consecrated my wealth to the service of the Lord, and I can't go back on this promise that I've made. This is spiritual holy money. It is a reserve fund that I have for the synagogue and for the prospering of the church. I can't take care of my money. I have devoted it. It is a devoted thing. And I can't release it from that just so easily. And Jesus says, you are full of hypocrisy because you have taken what is holy and you have desecrated it. This law clearly says, honor thy father and thy mother. Give them respect and reverence and due to them, even in their old age. And that relationship we saw last week or so, it changes when a marriage takes place. They're to leave your father and mother and cleave unto your wife. But at the same time, you remain a son or a daughter. And there are maybe not such strong obligations, but there is an honoring that is to be given to the parents still. The honoring often changes now to one of obedience to giving preference or calling them up and asking them for consultation or advice. It is an honoring of the parents that continues on even to the end of life and to the time that they, if they pass away. That is an ongoing commandment of the Lord. I had occasion to speak to my mother yesterday and was talking about some of the trials or difficulties. Not that we have great trials raising our children, but some of the things that you become involved in. And she related a few incidences to me about when I was a teenager, and she said, you know, these things are coming back to bite you. You're learning your lesson. Now you know what we went through. Now you know what happened. And we did it without a thought, really, in many things. And she also mentioned a few things that she appreciated as well. That was encouraging. But yeah, it's true that you look at life differently as a child than you do as a parent. And you don't stop to think, how do my parents view this situation? And, you know, often even when you get older, you start to learn the lesson, you still don't really consciously do that. What's going through the mind of my mother or my father in these days of their old age? But it's a good thing to contemplate and meditate upon, to honor your father and mother even in old age. And it is the first commandment with promise, wherein the Lord says that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Things will go better for you if you obey than they will if you rebel. And that does not always seem so very obvious in the middle of a confrontation or in the middle of a difficulty. When you want to do things your own way, then often it seems like, I don't know, it would actually go better for me if I had my own way. That's pretty much what we're convinced of. Isn't that right? If I had my way, it would go really well with me. And it would go really well for my parents as well. But the Lord says, obey your parents that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And the original commandment that the Lord gave to the children of Israel said that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And now there's maybe a broadening out that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Does that mean that Everyone that dies young was a rebellious young man. Maybe we didn't see the rebellion, but you know, he was only 16 when he died. He must have been something. And we can have kind of a slavish understanding of this verse. Is it possible for a godly young person to die at a young age? And it certainly is. And it has happened often. And we can think of Robert Murray McShane, that godly minister in Scotland, minister of the gospel, who died when he was 29 years old. Very, very young age. And the Lord used him mightily in many ways. He was blessed tremendously of the Lord. So, do we agree with Billy Joel when he sings, "Only the good die young"? That's calling good evil and evil good, isn't it? No, the Lord says, the good live to a ripe old age. And those who don't, will they possess the land also? Will they be partakers of God's kingdom? Will they set foot upon His land in the millennial kingdom? They will. They will receive the promises that God has given to them. And they receive them by faith, that thou mayest live long on the earth, that thou mayest live long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Obedient children are a blessing to a family. They're a blessing to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our covenant children also need to learn to obey for Jesus' sake. Do not have a contentment with merely an outward conformity or an outward obedience, but to have an obedience that arises from the heart. And maybe they may even have to say from time to time, I just can't find it in my heart to do it, but I know I need to do it for Jesus' sake. I want to obey for Jesus' sake because He is my Master and He has loved me with an everlasting love. He obeyed His heavenly Father. I want to obey my earthly Father. I want to give myself to that gospel obedience for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let the example of the Lord Jesus Christ be set before you also in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, when he went with his earthly father and mother, with Mary and Joseph, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, even the Lord Jesus Christ, subject clearly to his heavenly Father, but lovingly submissive and subject also to his earthly parents, and the Lord gave them in his wise providence. May we have loving children who love to obey the truth and love to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we confess that we all do find it difficult to obey, though it is easy to sing the lovely hymn, "Trust and Obey." Yet we find ourselves often failing to trust and failing to obey your precepts. We pray your forgiveness. We give thanks for the perfect cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord our God, that we may delight in a gospel obedience unto you. We pray that our children would be given a loving obedience to their parents, that they may exercise that in obedience unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may love him with all their hearts, that they may desire him. We pray, O Lord, that you would grant unto us that we may have wisdom as parents. And we pray that the gospel may be lived in our homes, that we may rejoice in it, and that we may delight in your sovereignty and in your love towards us in Christ Jesus. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to hymn number 454, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." Number 454.